The Dave McGillivray Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGillivrayFoundation.org for more information.
B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Cam on a play fake and a deep drop. Throws it to the left off the hands of Asiasi. A fastball through the hands of the wide open tight end about 5 yards away.
It's almost like it's Rohan Davey reincarnated with experience. I mean, this is a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. Tight ends and fullbacks in the chest, not up high above the helmet. I mean, just throw it underhand to him. He's wide open.
10 to 15 yards to run with after the catch.
You wonder why we don't throw it to the tight ends.
Well, I have to correct one thing. This is not a report from ESPN. It is from an ESPN alum. I did not realize Josina Anderson was no longer working for ESPN. She's moved on from the four-letter network. Josina Anderson, who's covered the NFL for some time, on Twitter. Source on whether New England wants to move on from quarterback Cam Newton. Quote, long way from all those decisions. Long way from all the... Wait, they haven't started thinking about whether or not they want Cam Newton on the team next year. They're a long way, which tells me they are keeping Cam Newton as an option in their back pocket. It tells you this. They have not eliminated Cam Newton as an option at quarterback for the Patriots in 2021. He's still on the table. So do we want to move on? We don't know. We'll figure it out. We're going to figure out what the other options are. We're going to go into the trade market. We're going to go into free agency. We're going to go into the draft. We'll figure it out in time when we're able to make those decisions. We're not going to make the decision that we don't want Cam Newton anymore unless we know what the replacement is. Cam Newton, according to Josina Anderson, again, whether the Patriots want to move on from Cam Newton, quote, long way from those decisions. That's Josina Anderson's source saying he's still in the mix. How does that make you feel?
Okay, so that makes me feel like the Patriots are looking at Cam Newton as worst case scenario. All right? Worst case scenario, Cam Newton comes back. He can play quarterback. How I feel, Beadle, is that the Patriots should view Cam Newton as a no case scenario, that he is not a scenario for us next year. And I understand if they're a little gun shy because maybe that's what happened to him last year. They didn't have a backup plan, or their plan was Jared Stidham, and they determined early on that wasn't going to work. And you know, they thought Hoyer. Okay, so now we're not going to make that mistake again. We've got a guy who actually went out there and played, and we won 7 games with this guy, and we can do it again. Worst case scenario, I'm saying no. Do whatever you have to do right now to ensure that Cam Newton is no scenario at all. Because I understand why they brought him in here in the first place. I don't understand why he continued to start week after week after week if Jared Stidham is still going to be around on this team. I don't see how it could have possibly been worse. And there's no way you can convince me that is the option going forward. We just talked about it. Joe and you and I just talked about whether or not a guy that you draft or veteran backup, he can play a little bit, but is he the answer? We know Cam Newton isn't the answer, not for the next 3 years or even the next two or just another handful of games. That's not the answer. So I would feel better if instead of Cam Newton being the worst case scenario was not even a consideration. Just rip the Band-Aid off. It's all done.
Right. Force yourself, even if it's something that you view as an equivalent to Cam Newton, force yourself to do something different. Even if it is someone that's new and you've got to teach him all over again the way you just struggled through that this year. when on Fridays, when you're going through a walkthrough getting ready for a game, you have significantly fewer players, fewer plays that you have in the repertoire getting ready for Sunday.
I like that pronunciation.
Repertoire. And that is, by the way, what was going on. There were far fewer plays in the playbook each week going into games.
We just got done watching the college football playoffs where you would take any one of those quarterbacks and any one of those teams, not just the last two last night. You would take any that you saw and say, okay, that would be a better option for us at quarterback next year than Cam Newton.
Yes.
Wait, is it the answer? I don't know. Is it a better option? Yes.
I was going to say that this whole mind game, like, I don't know if they're trying to keep Cam Newton around as like a cheap option, like if they can't find the guy and it's like, oh well, nothing was out there and nobody could come here, so we're gonna bring Cam back and give him a full off season, right? Because wasn't that some of the big things they talked about all year? Was
they
did practice,
and it was related to having fewer plays that they could use on a given week, so the offense did not have, you know, as many options as they did when they had Brady here after 20 years. I mean, there's no, it's not fair to say that a guy coming in a COVID off season, late in the off season, would know as much as the previous guy who had been here 2 decades. That's not a fair thing to put on him. So yes, that was brought up routinely, Joe, that he, you know, was learning on the fly week to week. So maybe that's it, right? The cheap option, Joe. But they then say, yeah, we're keeping a cheap option in the back pocket because what we really want is someone who's better and maybe someone that is affordable by way of the draft. But if we save money, we can go sign Allen Robinson for $20 million a year. Now, I'm playing fantasy football, but the math would work.
Maybe they think they have a lottery. And I'm saying lottery ticket in Cam is give him a full offseason, give him, you know, talent around him because he didn't have it a year ago. He's still coming off the injury. So, like, maybe they're selling us on that. I'm out. Like, I think Cam Newton should go somewhere else, go to Washington, go somewhere else. He can retire. I don't care what he does, but I think they're just keep it in the back pocket. And let's not forget, if they do bring in, let's say, a first-round pick or a second-round QB, maybe they want a model citizen that was here a year ago who did the right thing and was a locker-room guy and well-liked to be some sort of mentor. I don't want Cam Newton to be a mentor for somebody, but maybe that's what they have in mind.
Might be. And he's cheap if they can get him at that same price again, which I don't think they'd be able to do. But he's still in the mix. And he's still an option for the New England Patriots at this time. Adam and Lowell, get your phone figured out. Dave's in Weymouth. Hi, Dave.
Hey, I have a proposed trade for Detroit if they wanted to move up. So I was looking at some of the, you know, mock drafts and stuff, and it looks like two of the biggest needs for Detroit are offensive line and wide receiver. Now, we have the kid Inunua from Michigan. He's on a rookie contract. I think he's a huge trade piece. So if they traded him and maybe a second to move up, every mock draft I've seen, Detroit can still get a good wide receiver at 15. So they'd be able to fill two needs and still pick up a second-round pick. And for New England, offensive line is one of the positions Belichick can actually draft pretty well, so you should be able to replace him.
Who are you trying to trade? Is it Josh Uche? Is that who you're talking about?
No, I'm sorry. The offensive line from
Owenu.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Owenu.
Owenu.
I knew I wasn't going to get close, but I mean, he's Pro Football Focus loves him.
No, he's great. But that's why. So wait, you run this by me one more time.
He wants to trade him
that in a second
and a second to the Lions,
and their pick is at number what right now?
Seven.
Yeah, 6-7.
Well, I'd do it. That's a trade I would make. I mean, that would suck because you're trading away good, cheap, young talent. One of the guys you've hit on in the draft with a late pick, but
he's probably going to be your guard next year, isn't he?
I'd do it. Yeah, but if at seven you're now getting your franchise quarterback, you do the deal. And you're putting that potential franchise quarterback in a worse position as a result because now he has protection that's not as good up front. But it's a deal. You'd have to do it. If the guy was there that you thought was the franchise quarterback on draft day, and that's the deal you have to pull off when Detroit's on the clock?
After you lose Tooney and maybe Andrews?
To move up 8 draft spots into the top 10? Yeah, you would do that deal. The Patriots would do that deal. It might pain them to do it, but they would do the deal. I think they would, but I don't know why Detroit would be so willing to do that.
Detroit guy. It's Cass Tech.
Is that what it is?
So they know that he can play now, so they get a starting offensive lineman.
They scouted him since high school.
Yeah, I guess. There could be, I don't know. Hey, I'll take it. Thinking outside the box. I like it. I like it, Dave.
You would I'm surprised to hear that you would trade him, Beetle.
I know, because I love him. I think he's good.
I think he's really
great,
good, too.
One of the nice surprises this season. Adam, you there?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Hey, what's up?
Just real quick. I think the problem is Belichick needs to stop listening to his college buddies as much. There's a reason they're college coaches. They don't understand the skill at the next level. That's the reason why you get guys like Cyrus Jones. Thanks, Nick Saban. And Belichick, he needs to put somebody in charge of the draft, because if this next year comes out, we get another guard, another safety, and then don't draft a wide receiver or tight end until like the fifth round, I'm done with them. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Yeah, Beat, I'll tell you, the wide receiver draft was deep last year. It's very deep this year as well. And I don't think they can go a full draft without getting another wide receiver.
So which means this will be the third consecutive year that the receiver position is very deep.
Yep.
Third straight year, and all the Patriots have been able to produce out of three. This will be the third one. So two consecutive drafts to this point, they've got N'Keal Harry.
Yep.
Hooray. Hooray. You really nailed that one. Really great job. Thumbs up. Yep. And so this will be another opportunity. This will be their chance to save themselves.
I just want to say the college thing worked out years ago, though. Like, no one knew who Logan Mankins was, right? Like, the guy was one of the best guards, you know, probably an all-pro for that time. Like, he listened to his coach back then. Like, I don't know. He had relationships with coach. It worked. It didn't with N'Keal Harry, and obviously it came out publicly, but the Alabama thing, like, I don't know. Like, Anthony Jennings was a stud. He broke his leg in the national championship game 2 years ago, and he's still coming off that. So who knows what he could be? I mean, Brandon Dederick, he was a jag, but, like, he hung around for a little bit. I don't know. Like, the N'Keal Harry one stands out to me. The Rutgers one's worked out. Laugh about it all you want. They worked.
Tavon Wilson didn't work out.
Well,
he overspent on the pick, and he didn't work out, and that was one of the prime examples, and one that I believe has been cited by some of the people that have been in that room. Anonymously, of course.
Just saying, it hasn't been all bad.
Right. Like, Devin McCourty worked when they moved him to safety. And he had a good year as a corner, but then they moved him to safety. So, listen, Devin McCourty's a hit, no doubt about it. Tavon Wilson was not. So, like, you take the good with the bad. The same people were telling him to take those two guys. How could they say that one was going to be as good as the other? And obviously, different draft positions. Tavon Wilson was what, a third rounder? And
second
rounder, and yeah. McCourty was a first rounder. Like, McCourty was a guy you couldn't miss on. I don't know. I think that maybe you listen to those guys, but then you also listen to the guys in your own room. Listen to the guys that you employ. Paul is in Rhode Island. Paul.
Hi, I was making a comment about what you guys were saying about Cam Newton earlier. How, you know, maybe if he had another year here, how it might help him to learn the system and become more productive. But as much as I would like that to happen, I think, unfortunately, when I watch him throw and I see the amount of passes that a 6'5 quarterback gets tipped and can't get past the line of scrimmage, unfortunately, I don't think a whole nother year of him being here would help that. So I'll let you guys talk and I'll listen. Thank
okay,
you.
Worth discussing, and also the type of year that it was for the Patriots behind the scenes. We've heard a lot about their virtual coaching and Zoom sessions and all of the above, which every team in the league was dealing with this year. Let's talk about it as it relates to the Patriots and how they prepared for games. Also, some items on the Red Sox coming up later this hour. Don't go anywhere.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
What's up? Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Cam on a play fake and a deep drop. Throws it to the left off the hands of Asiasi. A fastball through the hands of the wide open tight end about 5 yards away.
It's almost like it's Rohan Davey reincarnated with experience. I mean, this is a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. Tight ends and fullbacks in the chest. Not up high above the helmet. I mean, just throw it underhand to him. He's wide open.
10 to 15 yards to run with after the catch.
You wonder why we don't throw it to the tight ends.
Well, I have to correct one thing. This is not a report from ESPN. It is from an ESPN alum. I did not realize Josina Anderson was no longer working for ESPN. She's moved on from the four-letter network. Josina Anderson, who's covered the NFL for some time, on Twitter. Source on whether New England wants to move on from quarterback Cam Newton. Quote, long way from all those decisions.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
It drives you crazy.
Zolak and Bertrand get into it.
Everybody's in on it.
In the middle of the day.
I feel like I've been ranting about this for 10 years.
And now, you can get Zolak and Bertrand on the radio.com app.
Screw up last segment, boys. Tavon Wilson, not a Rutgers guy. I don't know why I thought he was. Illinois. Ron Zook was the connection there. Ron Zook was his coach at Illinois. And that was the connection to back to the Patriots and Bill Belichick. There's some sort of friendship there. I had that one wrong.
Yeah, the draft position right, though. Second round.
Yeah,
48 overall.
Rutgers has worked out really well.
Rutgers has. The three guys they've gotten from Rutgers, and I don't think there are any more, that it's Daron Harmon, McCourty, and
Logan Ryan.
Three guys that are all good players. So you're right, Joe. I apologize. You nailed that one. The Rutgers players have worked in the secondary for the Patriots. 617-779-0985. There's a lot that has been made this year about working virtually and having many days outside of the facility as opposed to being in person, being on the field more, being in the meeting rooms more. There's been a lot more in terms of virtual meetings for every team in the league, including the Patriots. And you may have seen Bill Belichick's comments on this last week, how he didn't feel that the virtual meetings were as productive as a normal meeting would be. This from Mike Reese. He says, Bill Belichick's season-ending news conference provided closure on the season. And one of the top takeaways was the team's virtual meetings weren't viewed as overly productive. With the quote, what you think you're getting done in a virtual meeting and what's actually accomplished are two very different things because it's so hard to measure and gauge the feedback. This was Bill Belichick. Virtual meetings are fine for dissemination of basic information, general information. But in terms of the team working together, especially a team that doesn't have a lot of experience together, and that was true in certain positions, I don't think there's a great benefit to it. The whole world is dealing with this. The whole league is dealing with this. Every professional sports team is dealing with this. And this wouldn't catch my attention if it weren't for this being mentioned for months on end. And I guess I'm thinking maybe in terms of this particular show. How many times has Zoe brought this up about the Zoom meetings?
A lot.
This year? About Zoom and WebEx and how it's, you know, you're not accomplishing things. And when you're a coach that wants to grab a guy and put your hands on him, and how a good thing Dante Scarnecchia is not here and working anymore because he would have had no tolerance for this. Enough. There are no other young teams in the league. There are no other teams that have young players and have a lot of new players, whether they're young or veterans.
But at the time, it sounded reasonable. I agreed with it. Everything virtually, everything over Zoom, everything, it all sucks. So when Zoe would say it or anyone else would bring it up, I would say, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
It sounds like excuse making.
Yeah, but that's when you play it out. You play the tape to the end, you realize, oh, I guess every team has pretty much had to do this. And not every team had a fall off in productivity to the extent that the Patriots had. Now, we know the major component of that is the quarterback, but to try and, like, also, it's a 1-2 punch of that personnel selling out in previous years and Zoom. Can't coach over Zoom. Well,
is that why
the team?
That's why the tight ends couldn't play this year? Because it was Zoom? Or is it because maybe they're just not ready for the NFL? Maybe they've got a lot of development that needs to happen with those players, and it's going to take a lot of time.
Maybe they believed in Ryan Izzo, which I never did. That you saw guys on other teams had four tight ends, like Buffalo's Lee Smith, who was here years in the past making plays. Like, the tight end position was an absolute joke this year. They could have got guys from anywhere or off practice squads. That was a joke, and it's been like that for 2 years, right? And they had two of the best tight ends in football here a couple of years ago. That tight end group was a joke.
Was Damir Bird on the team last year?
No.
So he's new. Was N'Keal Harry on the team last year?
Yes.
Yes. Which guy was had a, in your mind, statistics aside, had a better year?
Bird.
I would say Bird was someone that had, you know, despite his drop at the end of the year, which was not great. You'd say, well, I'd rather count on Bird than count on N'Keal Harry. Well, Bird was new, and N'Keal Harry was a second-year guy. So was N'Keal Harry's issue Zoom? Like, he couldn't improve because what are we doing? What are we talking about here? And that's not to say that the credit, like, to say, it's not very productive. That might be true. It may not be very productive, which means it's also not productive for every one of your opponents on your schedule. Like, everybody has to deal with this. Everyone's dealing with this particular issue. Whether it's in football or any other sport or anything else in life. Like, oh, well, you know, we're on Zoom. You know, it's not good. Yeah, that's why we're 7-9. We're on Zoom, guys.
That's why Belichick threw the phone this year, because he didn't have the tablets.
7-9. You know, that's why we all weren't good. Next year, hopefully, we won't have Zoom and we'll be better. It just sounds like a lot of excuses. Yeah, Steven is in Providence today. Hi, Steven.
Hey, so I was wondering your guys' opinion. With Cam Newton, say all this COVID stuff stops and they get the vaccines out and you get in personal, like, practices, does that doesn't affect the physical capabilities that he's having problems with?
Well, that's why,
does that help him?
Steven, that's how this sort of came up. You're, I think, hitting the nail on the head. So Cam Newton, with another year and more time and less Zoom, is going to be able to throw the football? What are we talking about here?
I think they can work on some of his mechanics. The only thing is,
he can't do that through Zoom. That must be what it is.
No. I'm being serious, though. Like, you can ask Zoe this. Dude, when he went under center this year, he threw the football so much better. When he was in shotgun, his shoulders one way, his foot's the other way. I just think that with more time, they could work on those things. But Cam Newton, again, an old dog. It's hard to teach him new tricks. I think he's toast. I mean, this guy was the greatest athlete for 10 years, right? Heisman Trophy winner, 5-star recruited Florida, like, number one pick, MVP, Super Bowls. Like, dude, he had a great 10-year run. You're cooked. He's cooked.
Right, and he's taken a beating his entire career, including his shoulder, which has been an issue and I think has changed his throwing motion, and it's not going to go back. So what? What are we talking about?
Talking about maybe he's an option.
Why is still he an option? Why are we bitching about Zoom still?
Because he's cheap.
That's what.
That's all it's about. That's all this is about, is that Cam Newton, hey, okay, we'll give you another contract. Maybe this year we'll give you $10 million in incentives if you can get it. You know?
Joe is in I'm sorry, I can't see where you are today. You're in New Hampshire?
Yes.
All right, go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys, how about, don't laugh me off, but how about bringing in Philip Rivers?
I'd be all for that.
So, veteran presence, get the year started. What do you think?
I think he's going to go back to Indianapolis, or he's going to go home and retire. I don't think that the Patriots would be an option for Philip Rivers. I don't. And here's a question. Why would Philip Rivers leave a playoff team and come to this team?
Opportunity, that's the only thing.
Opportunity for what?
I don't know. Maybe they want to go with Brissett. Maybe they get another guy in there. Maybe they draft somebody. Did you guys watch the last drive by Philip Rivers at all?
I did.
Two throwaways, and yeah, then he couldn't reach the end zone.
Isn't that who he is?
Isn't that who he's been for years?
So you want him?
Yeah, absolutely.
See,
$25 million.
The problem here is everybody's looking at better.
What he made this year? Is that was that a salary?
Yeah, he made $20 million.
All guaranteed.
Yeah, sure, I'll do it.
We are all stuck on he's better than Cam Newton. He's better than Tyler Henneke. People got excited about that. He's better than Cam Newton.
He is better than Cam. I like Tyler Henneke.
Well, he throws a better deep ball for sure. But no, that's what we're all stuck on. I want guys that can win and get you to the playoffs and win in the playoffs. That's what I want. You know, is there anybody that would be available?
Okay, let me give you a scenario. They get Phillip Rivers and they draft Mac Jones at 15. Are you happy?
Yeah.
Yes, you're happy. We're all happy. We're all excited about a football season.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. Do that. Just go ahead and do that. I'll take that.
Right?
I'll take that.
How much better would that be than what we just went through?
I think it'd be a lot better.
It'd be a lot better.
Thank you, Joe.
I think they'd be a lot better than Cam Newton and Jared Stidham.
Thank you.
I think so.
It'd be a lot better.
I thought Felger made a great point, even though he was stretching a little bit yesterday when it may have been 2 days ago. The Patriots in 2017 had what was described by Bill Belichick as the best quarterback room in the league when they had Tom Brady. And they had Jimmy Garoppolo in the room.
And Jacoby Brissett,
Jacoby Brissett was in the room. And he also tacked on Tyler Henneke. Heineke.
Yep. He was there for a minute.
I just did a Felger. For the month of September, I think it was, that he was a month. They had the best room. They had four quarterbacks. They had three. Wow. But they had four quarterbacks, and not a single one of them stuck. Not a single one of them is still here. 3 years later.
Right. Well, I heard Felger say that yesterday, too. You were right to crow about that. You did have that's a great quarterback room. You couldn't keep one of them?
You don't have anybody left?
You couldn't figure out a way to have one of them? What was it, 10 years ago? No, a few years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know, Beale. Doesn't sound as good as that, Bledsoe, Heward, Bishop, Freeze, Brady era. Doesn't sound as good as that, though, to me.
I take anybody you just named over Cam Newton. Anybody. Richard is in Dedham. Richard.
Hey, guys. I'm glad you brought up the Zoom meeting thing because I've been trying to get a hold of you guys. When the first time I heard Zoe mention Skarnecchia and how Scar said that no way he'd be able to coach in this situation, I think the same thing can be applied to Belichick. Being as old school as he is, we all know about his history and as a young kid with his father coaching at Navy, and we all saw a couple of years ago he couldn't even handle the sideline iPads. Maybe he sucked at the Zoom meetings thing, and a lot of this is on his hands as well. He just didn't know how to adapt to
it. Yeah, maybe he had no patience for it.
Okay, they still practiced. They didn't have Zoom meetings all week and then show up at the stadiums on Sunday to play. Did they not gather in person periodically throughout the week?
Oh, they did, but
week in and week out before games?
The meetings were not in person. That's what changed. Apparently, the meeting room is far more effective, and I would agree with that. Of course, in-person learning is better than Zoom learning. No doubt about it. We all see that. If you have kids right now, you're seeing it for yourself. But everyone's dealing with it and working their way through it. Not the Patriots, though. They're just going to talk about how it's not productive. And now they couldn't find a. They failed. They're not good. They're not a good Zoom team. They're bad at Zoom. And thank God Dante Skarnecchia retired. What would they have done? What would he have done? I'm guessing some intern would have come in and popped on the Zoom for him. That's what I'm thinking. That's what they would have done. Oh, Dante, we got someone who would deal with that for you.
Just are the coaches still in the league? Are they?
What is this?
I'm just wanting to think about it for a second here.
What?
Like, I don't know. McVay was a Zoom guy. We watched that on Hard Knocks. Who else is in the playoffs? I don't know. Stefanski. I mean, he was probably in his basement, So I'm just thinking maybe the people that are in the playoffs, the coaches, maybe they're Zoom guys and Belichick wasn't.
They were more accepting of Zoom. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Maybe they worked it a little bit better.
Andy Reid must be big Zoom guy.
Well, he's got
must
the
be awesome on it.
He's got Mahomes. He doesn't need the Zoom. They already got the Zoom offense.
Oh, because they're a good team, so they win games and they have to talk about Zoom sucking.
Exactly.
Oh, see the difference there? Just be a good team. You don't have to worry about your Zoom. Just have a better team.
Maybe Zoom was a problem for them too, but no one's asking them that right now because they're still winning.
Because they still go out and win games because they've got guys who can play. 617-779-0985. Zoom. Zoom, zoom. Apparently a big problem there. The city of Pawtucket, Rhode Island, is suing
the Paw Sox. And details on that story, more your calls on the Patriots and Bill Belichick and everything that we've hit so far today, including the national championship game last night. Joe Murray has headlines.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
Louth were with us today because he could get all fired up about this.
Boy, that's a phrase that doesn't get uttered all that often.
Right?
I wish Louth were here.
Ugh. This from the Providence Journal. As breakups go, the Pawtucket Red Sox departure from its hometown over the past three decades is turning ugly. The city of Pawtucket is suing the Pawtucket Red Sox Baseball Club for what it alleges was the team's failure to maintain and repair McCoy Stadium, leaving the city on the hook for significant damages. The city accuses the ball club of breaching its lease terms, resulting in costly deficiencies. It seeks unspecified damages. Quote from the spokesman for the city of Pawtucket, "This is another unfortunate piece of the Pawtucket Red Sox saga. The city of Pawtucket worked hard to keep the Pawtucket Red Sox here, but the long-standing team will no longer be playing here in Rhode Island. The team notified the city and state it would not be extending its lease beyond the termination date of January 31st, because, of course, we know they are moving to Worcester. It says it means the city of Pawtucket will be exposed for the entire facility and upkeep, which was originally the responsibility of the state and Paw Sox, leaving the burden on the taxpayers to fix or knock down the facility." I don't know if they have a case or not. I have no idea. But if you're in Rhode Island, man, you keep getting hosed by Red Sox-related entities, don't you? First it was Schilling for $75 million.
Thank you.
And now you get hosed by the Red Sox.
Thank
the
you.
The AAA club of the Boston Red Sox being a separate business, the Pawtucket Red Sox. The Red Sox don't own the team. It's their minor league club.
But you know, but you guys are getting
screwed down there in Rhode Island, left and right.
Was that not my assessment of the situation this morning?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And oh, well,
they don't know.
Many rides there and back, you know, from the strip clubs and stuff like that. I mean, pay those women for some beer.
How do they still root for the Red Sox down there? If I were in Rhode Island, I'd be like, no, I'm out. I'm finding a new team.
So first you steal $80 million from us, one of your guys, and then one of your teams up and leaves us for no good reason. What the hell? I don't know all the ins and outs of their departing there, but apparently they feel they have a case, literally, hence the lawsuit.
It says that in their lease agreement, they had a lease and then a subsequent sublease. When they did some upgrades, they did $11 million in upgrades and renovations from sometime after 1998, I guess. And it obligated the team to perform certain maintenance and repairs at their own expense, which they say was not done. They did not do the maintenance and repairs that were necessary that they were required to do. And now because they are leaving, they're going to get sued for it. Because they're leaving without paying for those necessary repairs. It's like, you know, renting an apartment, Hardy, and by the end of the apartment rental, you know, you're done with your year and you're moving out. You got to have a little inspection there, right? Hey, you paid your first, last, you know, security deposit. We're coming in to take a look at the place. You're getting that security deposit back, right?
A little bit of that going on.
Security deposit. Yeah. Yeah. That's what it amounts to.
Well, that's what it, they're looking for their security deposit. You guys didn't take care of the place. What's with all the holes in the wall? What did you do when you ripped down the pictures on the wall? What's this stain on the carpet? Why doesn't this window open?
You can't put toothpaste in these holes in the wall here. We know that trick.
Like,
these need to be filled and spackled properly.
That's what the inspection is for. They're doing their inspection. Oh, your lease is up. You didn't take care of the place. You trashed it. You absolutely trashed it. And is there a cleaning fee? I think that's something to consider here. But they must be pissed down there. They're losing the team. I was telling Hardy this morning, Joe. Joe, I know you've been to a Pawtucket Red Sox game.
Oh, yeah.
Pawtucket. No offense. Don't take offense to this Pawtucket. I love you. I mean it. It's had a bit of a real renaissance, I think, in recent years. It's a much nicer place now than it was 20 years ago or 30 years ago. There were times in my lifetime where you went to Pawtucket and thought to yourself, if it weren't for this baseball team here, I would never come here. I would have no reason to set foot in this town. However, it now is, to quote Michael Felger, it's on the come.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? A lot of nice new developments there. Things are looking up there. Things are looking good in Pawtucket. And now the team's leaving. Like, wait a second. You got all the reason to stay now. Nice little town here. Nice city they're putting together here. A lot of young people have moved there. What are you doing? And we know the reason why. It's because they got a great deal to move to Worcester. Worcester gave them all the cash. Here, we'll build you a stadium. We'll give you an influx of financing and cash and infrastructure and all that good stuff. All the stuff that goes into public supportive stadiums. They got it in Worcester. They couldn't get it in Rhode Island. So they're gone. They leave. They're like the Chargers leaving San Diego, right? Or the Patriots threatening to move to Hartford, except they actually, this team went through with it and moved to Worcester. Are you more or less likely to go to a AAA? What are they being called now? What's the team name in Worcester? The Woo Sox?
Woo Sox.
Okay. Are you more likely to go to a Woo Sox game now in the brand new stadium or a Paw Sox game in the old stadium?
Woo Sox.
Really?
Dude, that area of Worcester is up and coming, man. On the come.
No doubt about it, dude.
That whole Shrewsbury Street, everything they've done. Now, Kelly Square, that's a disaster, and that's probably what they've
done. I don't know any of these places. I don't go to Worcester for anything.
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you. You'd rather go there than you would rather Pawtucket. And there's a lot to do out there. The bars will be hopping. Warm Town will be brewing. And it's going to be a good place to go, and people will be singing Sweet Caroline there probably too.
Hardy, I am far more likely to drive to Pawtucket than I am Worcester.
I've driven
Worcester's far.
That drive out to Worcester,
so far.
You think you're almost there because you're at 495.
You're never almost there.
You're not there yet.
No.
Yet 495.
Town motto.
You never get there.
The town motto is
Worcester. You're never almost there.
I love our Worcester listeners. We got plenty of them, but guys, you're like way out there in my mind, and that may not be accurate. It's just in my mind. Like, oh, Worcester, I'm not driving all the way to Worcester.
The town motto in Latin translates to, once you hit 495, you think you're almost there, but you're not quite there yet. Keep driving.
Right. Keep going.
It's a long phrase. It's on the signs. They have their own currency there. I think it's on the dollar coin.
The Woobikes.
Telling you guys, that Worcester area is going
to
be popping.
Why do you go to Worcester? Why are you on Worcester?
They're called Woonies. Not Loonies. They're Woonies.
Wait, what's that, Joe?
Or the wife's from out there.
Oh, okay. But, that makes sense. You've got your spouse is from that area.
I thought she was from Hawaii.
You've never gone to, like, I don't know, the Palladium or the Worcester Centrum or the DCU Center?
No, I've been to the DCU Center, and that's probably the reason I've gone to Worcester ever. Is the DCU Center.
I think the last time I was there for it was the Opie and Anthony comedy tour when they decided to put a bunch of screaming ONA fans in the DCU Center and have stand-up comedy be the theme of the night. Didn't go well.
Because like every like 7 or 8 years, Worcester gets a first-round site in the tournament. I haven't been there. The last time I was there was like 15 years ago for it. But they are one of those like smaller market places that have had first-round games.
Is there a lot of back and forth between Worcester and Honolulu, like in Las Vegas? Like,
can you get a direct flight
to like tourism communities, Joe? Is that why your wife is?
It's Vegas and Hawaii.
I know, but I'm saying is Worcester like another city that shares like a kinship with I don't know, maybe Wailea on Maui,
sister city in Hawaii.
Maybe I guess it's the closest city to Boston, right?
She's from Honolulu.
Yes, it is the closest big city to Boston. A bit more, yes. And Hawaii, the connection is.
That's all I know. That's all I got for you.
That's all you know about
all
its connection to Hawaii?
That's
is that
all
it's
I have.
A little closer than Boston?
Yep. And they get to, I know, they always go to, I get the, from out there, I can get the Foxwoods in like 40 minutes.
From Hawaii? There.
No, from Worcester.
We got calls on this. Let's get to it next. I knew this would be fun.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
The former QB, always laser-focused.
It's like going to bed at night and bringing a rattlesnake in your room. Let him sleep on a hot spot, on a hot rock.
And the guy who was always by his side.
The Lakers, UFOs, mayonnaise, all in the mix here.
Zolak and Bertrand.
If that makes any sense.
No.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Worcester, Massachusetts. Oh, yeah. What a city. It's got some hills. The Worcester Hills. Worcester, Massachusetts, what a wonderful city, oh yeah. Let's go to Worcester, have ourselves a good time. Let's have fun in Worcester. Worcester is a great community, oh yes it is.
Joe Murray's liking this, he's digging this jam. He's a big fan of Worcester.
I miss the old Adam Sandler, Welcome to Worcester.
$25, Pop.
We can't play that, though.
No, I don't think so.
What is this?
I don't know. Ask T-Bone.
It's that Fred Toucher guy. The guy who loves Toucher and Rich. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love looking at that thing. Check out the Allen Park Iron Bridge. That thing's amazing. It's in Worcester.
We must have talked over the line where he said it's only 40 minutes to Foxwoods.
Yeah, he said that. I heard that.
Oh, he did say that.
Yeah, he absolutely said that.
All right.
Jake in Worcester on the drive to Worcester.
Oh my God, I was just dying listening to that song. I know every place where that song just said. And Beatle, it's the same drive to Pawtucket. Come explore Worcester. It's a lot better out here.
Yeah, it feels like Beatle. You're never quite there, though. Yeah, a little bit longer to drive. A little bit further. Keep driving. Not quite there yet.
We must be there yet. No, you're not.
Nah, you're not there yet.
You're not there yet.
Not there yet. Nick in Rhode Island. Nick.
Yeah, guys, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I'm appreciative that you're bringing this up because I had no idea that this was even a story. And they may have a case because about 4 or 5 years ago, there was a change in ownership. And I don't know exactly who purchased the team, but Larry Lucchino took over.
Yeah, Larry Lucchino is still involved.
Right. So he took over the operation and the improvements, whatever that must have been done in 1998, were done under previous ownership.
Right.
And then the new ownership didn't maintain it. And that's one of the reasons why they left.
So is that would you know that or you're speculating on that?
No, I know that.
Oh, OK. So that's part of the allegations that they didn't maintain what had been set up by the previous owner who had been there a very long time. Lucchino was one of the co-owners of the team. So he is very much involved.
And he said, see you later. He's going to take whatever the best deal was, and he left. Eric in the car. Eric.
Oh, my God, guys. Unbelievable. I live in Rhode Island, and I work in Worcester.
Oh. Well, you got both angles on this story.
Worcester is awful. It's, I can't even, you walk around square, and there's people falling over everywhere. They're just, like, on drugs, falling all over. I had this one lady have a card table set up in front of a building selling Colgate toothpaste. I was walking by. She's
well,
like,
how much?
You want to buy some? I don't know. I didn't get that far.
Well, how much? What are you discriminating against the business practices of the woman on the corner for? Maybe in a good deal. Toothpaste, that stuff's not cheap. And you can also spackle your walls with it, as Hardy would tell you.
I see that in Quincy all the time, Bill.
Yeah. I mean, have you been to Bancroft Tower? Look at that thing. What's the bridge? The Iron Bridge?
The Paw Sox should have went over, purchased some of the toothpaste, brought it back down to McCoy, and patched up whatever the issues were.
Well, this
were.
Guy could do it. Yeah. He's going back and forth.
Right. Could have helped out. Could have picked up a little toothpaste and helped the team all at once. By the way, Joe, that new stadium that the Woo Sox are going to play in looks like it is going to be beautiful.
Yeah,
it's going to be a beautiful minor league park.
Dude. We could hit up the Soul. We could go. They got a great buffet. Nancy Chang's out there, man. What else they got? They got a Via.
Boy, the Kowloon like makes one Facebook post, and all of a sudden you're looking for new places to get your lo mein.
I'm telling you, I've been out there a lot. The Warm Town Brewery.
Out with the Wongs, in with the Changs. That's what Joe just said. What is it? Nancy Chang?
Nancy Chang.
Nancy great Chang.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Andy Wong, see you later. I met a new one. I got a new person in my life.
Well,
her name's
buffet.
Nancy.
Hi,
they're
I'm Donna Chang.
They're a buffet. That's a buffet style.
Oh,
we need to save the buffets, by the way. We have to save the buffets. We can't let them go anywhere.
Is that your new cause celeb?
Yes. We need to save the buffets in 2021.
Isn't there going to be an issue, though, with trying
COVID?
To figure out with regard to the games in Worcester, but what time the games are being played? Are they central time zone or are they mountain? It's like if we're talking about a Woo Sox game get played at 7, is that 6?
We got to know for the headlines. You know?
I mean, or is it like one of those half an hour increment time zones?
Is it like Arizona? Where
Beetle, you went to UMass. You went to UMass. UMass is like 2 hours away from Worcester, literally. Like probably, 90 minutes away from Worcester?
No, my thought is that when you drive to Worcester, you might as well keep going and get to UMass. You're almost there. When you're in, all right, I'm almost there in Worcester. Just got to get to exit 8.
Yeah, he went away to college.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to go away to go see a Woo Sox game.
Mike in Worcester. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. I'm from Worcester originally. I moved out to Boston a few years ago, and Worcester's a dump. The best thing that ever happened to that city is the Ice Cats, and they left years ago. So unless you like tetanus shots and rotting buildings, just stay out of Worcester. There's really
It's on the come, as we've been saying. Joe will tell you, he's been to all the hot spots there.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot speak to it. It's been a long time since I was in Worcester, but I'll take your word for it. What's the name of that buffet,
I'm thinking
Joe?
Nancy Chang's.
Oh, that's the actual name of it.
Yes, yeah. Nancy
like
Chang's.
Like Tony Roma's place for ribs. This is Nancy Chang's place for spring rolls.
Yeah.
I'm thinking we got to take a show field trip once this pandemic's over. We're going to do a show from Worcester.
I'm in. We can do it all. Hit up the Soul. I'm telling you.
What is the Soul that you keep mentioning?
The Boynton is another one.
What are these things? Now you're just making up words.
No. The pro in all this is Tim McCone. From Worcester, works in Providence.
Right.
He's like the guy. He knows more than
right.
I do.
Listen, this brings back a story from yesterday about the Polar beverage deliveries. That Tim one day said, oh, I know guys at Polar. I'll make a phone call. We'll get some of those nice seltzers in here for everybody in the studio.
Yeah.
2.5 years later, we retell the story about how McCone failed to deliver, and Polar showed up with seltzer, I don't know, a day later, and dropped a pallet of the stuff on the parking lot and said, you guys want seltzer? Here it is.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.